where we're going to be dealing with specific biblical examples of fasting and prayer and what God has done in the past when His people were faithful to fast and pray. Now, if you're having trouble finding Joel, here's the fastest way I know to find any of those prophets, minor prophets. Find, first of all, Ezekiel. So you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, then you have Little Lamentations, you have Big Ezekiel. Those are three big books right in the middle of your Bible, easy to find. You find Ezekiel, and then you just start turning pages from Ezekiel back. And you'll get Daniel and Hosea, and then Joel, Amos, and then you get the smaller minor prophets. So you can always find those little guys if you can find Ezekiel first, and then they are right behind Ezekiel. Okay? Joel chapter 1. I'm suggesting to you today that we begin to think about our fast, which will begin on Easter Sunday, the 19th, and will conclude the following Sunday, the 26th. I want to see what happens when we have been fasting and praying all week and then come together as the body and begin to worship God. And I have a real expectancy for that service on Sunday morning, the 26th. That is assuming many of you will join with us in the fast. In the book of Joel, chapter 1, Israel is in a great deal of trouble. Israel has fallen from the grace of God, and they are in a position where their enemies are advancing against them. And so the prophet Joel, under the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit, in verse number 14 of chapter 1, proclaims these words, "Sanctify ye a fast." Now the word sanctify means separate a period of time where you will not eat. "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate." This is a description of what was happening in Israel at that time. "O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field even cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the world or the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Now, if you'll jump to the 12th verse of chapter 2, let's continue with this thought. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." What is the primary objective of a fast? The primary objective of a fast is to turn self to the Lord. It turns the senses and the natural desires of the body off so that the person who is fasting is no longer driven to satisfy his natural urges and allows him time and allows the spirit of that man to rise to the ascendancy and to take the preeminent and primary place in the direction of that man's life. And a person who has his spirit man ascending and his fleshly or carnal man descending is a man who is going to be turning to the Lord. And so fasting, its primary purpose is to turn one to the Lord. As a Christian, if you're not fasting from time to time, if you do not fast, it's something that I want to encourage you to do. I think one of the things that's going to happen here the week of the 19th is that some of you are going to find a wonderful new tool and a wonderful new spiritual discipline that perhaps you have never used before, and it will help you very much in your spiritual life. Verse number 13, and rend your heart and not your garments. In other words, don't wring your hands and tear your clothes, rather tear your heart. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, and that's what we're going to be doing. Sanctify the congregation. Separate them. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, everybody involved in this, and even those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. In other words, this is a primary work for that week. Even those that were newly married were to come to the assembly. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, that is, this is calling for prayer. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then, when people rend their hearts, and when they fast, and when they pray, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part towards the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. In other words, I'll deliver you from your oppressors, and I will set you free from your enemies. I will prosper you and bless you and give you great victory. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. In other words, you get all the rain at one time. And the floors shall be full of wheat, that is your threshing floors. And the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore. Would you underline the word restore, please? I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Would you underline the words be satisfied? You will eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Would you underline that phrase? Now that word ashamed literally means disappointed or confounded. I'm one that does not handle disappointment very well, no matter where it comes from. I just don't handle it very well. I don't know about you. And I like this promise that my people shall never be disappointed. They shall never be confounded. They shall never be confused. They shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know, verse 27, that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Does that sound familiar? And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and the terrible day of the Lord come, referring to the end times. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, underline the word deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, I have attempted in the past at times, I think I've shared this with you, I've attempted in the past to move God's hand by fasting. I have used fasting as a weapon whereby I would manipulate God. Unfortunately, I found out he doesn't manipulate. And so I had wondered at great length, ever since we've been a church, knowing what fasting will do and having experienced it in my own life, I have wondered, why is it that the Lord has never had the church as a whole fast and pray. Some of you have likely wondered the same thing. Why doesn't the pastor ever call a fast? And the reason the pastor never called a fast is because God never called a fast. At least that I heard. You see, the reason that the people of Israel could claim these promises from God is because He's the one that said, sanctify the fast. And if you will fast and pray, this is what I will do for you. And therefore, they could fast and pray in confidence. Now, I want you to know that this next week, the week of the 19th, I'm going to fast and pray in confidence. I don't have any specific promises from the Lord. I don't know exactly what He's going to do, but I know it'll be good. I know it'll be valuable. I know it'll be profitable, and I believe it's essential. And so as I enter this, I enter it with great expectation and anticipation. I hope you will as well. I know that this is the Lord, and I know that this is something that it's not just something that it would be a nice idea if we do. This is something that is important for us as a church. If you care about this ministry, if the Water of Life Christian Center and its ministry and its people are important to you, then would you stretch yourself that week and fast and pray with us? I would be very disappointed if we had prayer services and only had 10 or 12 people here. I'd be very disappointed at that. I'd be very disappointed. I would not be destroyed over it, because I know what God can do with one man's prayers. But I'd be disappointed. And would you fast with us? I'd be very disappointed if we only had a few people who were fasting. Now, don't you tell me, Pastor, I can't fast, because I'll tell you, you're a liar. You are saying, I won't fast. Now, if you say, I won't fast, then that's a truthful statement. But you may not say to me and tell me the truth, I cannot fast. Now, why can you say that, Pastor? Because the Word of God says we will fast. Jesus said, when the bridegroom is gone, then they will fast. Now, the Lord never asked us to do anything that we could not do. Don't you let your body tell you, and don't you let the devil tell you that you cannot fast. It's a lie. And you call it what it is. It is a lie. Amen. And don't you allow yourself to be denied the blessings that God wants to come to the church family, and to you individually and into your families by letting this situation pass without your participating in it. Pastor, how may I fast? There are several ways that you may fast according to the Scripture. The normal fast is to deny yourself food. The word fast literally means not to eat. To fast means not to eat. One of the reasons fasting is so important to us is this. The most powerful urge that your body has, your carnal nature, is to eat. The strongest lust that is in your carnal nature is for food. When the devil destroyed the human race in the Garden of Eden, he did not do it with sex. He did not do it with another woman. He didn't do it with another man. He didn't do it with money. All the things we think. He didn't do it with power. What did he do it with? Food. When Jesus was in the garden, was in the wilderness rather, and he was tempted by the devil, how did the devil tempt him? Did he bring him a beautiful girl? Did he? What did he tempt him with? Food. He said, if you're the Son of God, command that stone to be turned into bread. Aren't you hungry? You've been 40 days here without food? Oh, yeah, you bet I'm hungry. You bet. The desire for food is the most powerful force in your carnal nature. If you are not able to gain control over that, you will not have control over your flesh. A runaway appetite and a runaway flesh are partners. And so fasting is the device that has been instituted by God to help us to bring our flesh under the subjection of our spirit. And the way you fast is to not eat. Now, when you don't eat, your body will get weak. When your body gets weak, then your spirit will get strong. Galatians 5:17 says, "The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit." Most people have a weak spirit and a strong flesh. That's why we're so unchristlike. That's why we do so many stupid things. That's why our judgment is so impaired. That's why we get so angry. That's why we mistreat people. That's why we're not loving and caring. The way to weaken your spirit is to do what? Take the food away from it. Just don't read your Bible for 6 months. Stay out of church and don't have any fellowship with Christian people and see how strong you are spiritually. When you do not eat, you will also get weak physically. But when your body is weak, then your spirit will be strong. If you have never fasted, this will be the most remarkable and the most marvelous revelation for you, and I greatly encourage you to join with us in this at whatever level you think you can participate. Now, basically three kinds of fasts. The normal fast. The normal fast is to eliminate all food. Drink water, but don't eat any food. No food in juices or soups or any kind of liquids, water only. That is the normal fast. The normal fast is no food. It is not necessarily no water. You must drink water, all right? But no food, that's the normal fast. That's one way you could fast. If you wanted to fast a normal fast, you could stop eating Saturday night when you had your last meal Saturday night. Matter of fact, you could eat right there at 11:59. Really chunk it away. Although if you're going to do that, I'd suggest that whatever you're chunking away, don't chunk away a whole pizza. Chunk away a fruit basket. Now, not the basket, but I mean I should say, some of you misunderstand it. Some crazy person would say, well, a pastor said, you know, I've never fasted before. Maybe straw is good for your innards or something. A basket full of fruit. And leave that in there, you know, as your last meal. If you're going to do that kind of thing, make it fruit. But if you were going to have a normal fast, you'd make Saturday night your last meal. And then you wouldn't eat anything more until Sunday after church. And you'd just drink water. Now, obviously, you drink lots of water, and water's very helpful. You'd be surprised after you fasted 2 or 3 days how great water tastes. I mean, it is fabulous. I'm not talking about just refreshing. I mean fabulous. It's delicious. Delicious water. Some of you don't drink any water at all. You couldn't drink it if it didn't have color or flavor in it. But the way God made it is excellent. I mean, water's great. Amen. So that's the normal fast. The second kind of fast is an absolute fast, and I would suggest you do not use this kind of fast. An absolute fast is abstinence from food and water. Now, the kind of fast that Jesus was on in the wilderness was a normal fast. It says, afterward, he hungered. Okay? He didn't thirst. He hungered. So apparently he had water, didn't eat food. The absolute fast is no food, no water, no intake of anything. And most of the examples in the Scripture where the absolute fast is used is that it was no more than 3 days. Saul of Tarsus fasted 3 days when he went to Damascus, you remember, after he met Jesus on the road. Esther fasted 3 days, an absolute fast, no food, no water. You see, your body can live well over a month and a half or more without food. But it cannot live very many days without water. You have to have water. So if you were going to do an absolute fast, you would only do that for the first day or two or three, and then you begin to take some water. Unless you have some specific manifestation of the Word of God for you, because there are some examples in the Scripture where it was longer. Moses, for example, twice went 40 days without food or water. But he's in the presence of God, and he had specific direction from the Lord. Elijah had no food or water for 40 days. He went in the strength of that food and water for that period of time. So we have those two examples, and actually three instances. But it is a drastic measure designed to deal with a drastic kind of a problem where you need short-term results and you need them quick. where you would go on an absolute fast. And that's not the kind of fast that we are proclaiming. It is profitable for you to try that a day or two at a time, that sort of thing. If you're going to do it next week, please don't do it more than several days unless you have a definite leading of the Lord. I can tell you that the absence of water is very much different than just the absence of food. It's a completely different kind of experience. The third kind of fast, and this is the kind that most of you would participate in if you have never fasted before. You say, Pastor, could I really fast for all week and just not eat anything? Yes, of course you could. But it will not be as easy for you if you've never done any fasting before. If you have fasted before, then I would encourage you to fast like that, just do a normal fast. But if you have never fasted before, then try the third kind of fast, which is the partial fast. And the partial fast is manifested in several different ways. It is a restriction on the intake of food rather than a complete abstinence. And there are several ways you can do it. You can either restrict yourself certain days, say, well, I'm going to fast Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and not eat anything those 3 days. Or you could say, I'm going to fast supper every day all week. Or I'm going to fast lunch all day every week. You could fast a particular meal. You could fast a day, you could fast a meal, or you could fast particular kinds of food. You might say, well, I'm not going to eat any meats or fish, none of those kinds of things, and I'm going to do a Daniel-type fast. If you look in the book of Daniel, chapter 1 and chapter 10, you'll find that Daniel liked to fast on fruits and vegetables. Also, you'll find out how delicious fruits and vegetables are when you're fasting. A green salad with nothing on it, just green salad, is wonderful on about the third day or fourth day after you've been fasting. Some fruit along the way is fabulous. You will not believe how sweet an apple is or a grape in that. Daniel fasted with fruits and vegetables, ate no breads, and ate no meats, and drank just apparently water, and the Hebrew word was pulse, which means plants, vegetables, and fruits. And so that's one way that you might fast. I'll tell you, that fast is effective. In 1976, when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and was so frustrated that I could not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and I was really at the end of my wits, and my wife, who was already baptized in the Holy Spirit, felt led of the Lord to fast on my behalf. And she went on a 10-day Daniel's fast and ate fruits and vegetables, salads and that sort of thing, mostly raw vegetables and fruits. And on the 10th day, she broke that fast. On the 11th day, God moved on me in a powerful way, and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost before noon on the 11th day. And I know that it was that fast that broke the bond over me and set me free. So it is not specifically the kind of fast you go on, but it is that you would deny your flesh something that it wants and wants real bad because you love God and you would do it as unto Him. Some of you will not be able to do anything maybe except fast your candy bars or fast your Coca-Colas or fast your coffee or fast your Dunkin' Donuts or something you would pick out from your life that you know that you want to deny yourself, and you'd eat regularly, but you would deny yourself these particular things. Your children can be taught how to fast. They can fast a meal. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe they can. Oh, yes, they can. Explain it to them. Explain this to them. Of course they can. What do I do with the time? Their belly is going to go off like an alarm clock and say, we won't eat. When the belly goes off, you say, children, it's prayer time. And you take the children to the prayer closet and you pray instead of eat. That's one of the things you want to do with your fast time. You use the time you save from preparing food. How many of you ladies, if you didn't have to cook in your house, would have a good many extra hours the week of the 19th? Let me see your hands. Why not use those hours for prayer? If you do not eat, there's also a lot of time to be saved. Use that time for prayer. Don't use that time for other things. Use it for prayer. We're going to sanctify that time and that food, and we're going to give it to the Lord. All right? That's one of the reasons why we're having prayer at 6:30. This is normally about supper time. See? You won't be eating supper, so it'll be no problem getting here at 6:30. Think of all the time you'll save fixing it and eating it and cleaning up. My Lord, maybe we'll do this routinely. Yeah, it'll be bad for the grocer that week, but it'd be good for the budget. Glory to God. So there are all types of ways that you can fast partially. You can fast certain days, fast every other day. If you say, Pastor, there's no way I can make it more than a day, then you fast Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That's all right. You say, Pastor, there's no way that I can make it even one day. Then you fast dinner every day and just eat your normal five meals. Just skip one of them. Amen. I know some of you. Amen. Who said a pastor couldn't have a good time? Or you may fast certain kinds of food, certain types of food, and just get those out of your diet altogether that week. It'd be great if you could do this as a family and everybody fast alike as a family. You know, your children are going to want to do what mom and dad is doing. I can remember as a young lad, we didn't fast much in the tradition in which I grew up. But usually around Easter time, we had the one great hour of sharing. I believe that was Easter time. We had a special offering at any rate about Easter time. And the churches were, the congregation was encouraged to fast a meal and put the money that they saved on that meal in a little box. And we had a little house that was like a bank and set it on the dinner table. And we'd fast that meal and then put the money in the bank. And then on a particular Sunday, we would take that bank full of money to church and give that to, it was a relief ministry, a mission kind of thing. That was a good experience for me as a child to see my family willing to fast and to sacrifice the meal, because we were good eaters around our house and always ate well. But to give up that food in exchange for something that was more important was a good lesson for me. And I think you could do very well to encourage your children in that. Now let me give you a couple of hints, and then we'll be finished this morning. If you're going to go on a normal fast, that is, you're going to give up everything except water, begin to prepare for it this week. And here's how you prepare: cut out all your caffeine. It'd be good to leave it out permanently if you can. Cut out all your chocolate. Cut out all of your coffee, cut out all of your tea, cut out all of your Coca-Cola. Pastor, you've gone to meddling now. I'm telling you, if you go on a normal fast and you have a lot of caffeine in your body, on the second day, you will think your head is about to come out of the top. Your brains are about to come out of the top of your head. And once you experience that, you'll find out what caffeine's doing to you and you'll decide to quit it. You know it's a drug. So get the caffeine out of your diet. Start now. Okay? Because your body's going to be crying for it and you're going to be in trouble. The other thing is get the sugar out of your diet. Everything except natural sugars. Get the sweets out of your diet. Get anything that has sugar in it. You don't have to get ketchup out. It's got a little sugar in. But I'm talking about sweet things. Get those out of your diet because your body will cry for sugar. You know you can have withdrawal from sugar just like a drug. If you've ever experienced that, you'll never be the same as far as sugar, what it will do to your body. And you will find when you take the sugar out of your body that it will curb your appetite. If you try to fast and keep eating your sugar, you can forget it. You can forget it. Your body will beat you because sugar is a hook in your body. When you get the sugar out of your body, I'm talking about all of it, get it out and keep it out, you'll find you have control over your appetite. It's the most marvelous revelation, the most marvelous experience. And be prepared to drink a lot of water. When you get hungry while you're fasting, instead of eating, just go get a glass of water. You will find also when you're fasting, you will not want cold water. You won't want water with ice in it. You won't want it right from the tap or maybe even lukewarm. You'll find out a lot of things about your body when you do this. So just these few hints. If you're pregnant, then you'll want to consider carefully how you want to fast. You probably want to fast a partial fast. If you have an illness that may be a problem for you, you check with your doctor if you think that there's a potential problem there and make sure that you're on solid ground. For a normal person, certainly this is not going to present any kind of health problems at all. If you have any other questions on fasting, a number of months ago I did a very complete teaching on the subject of fasting. And we have a book that's available to you. You can get it from the bookstore, I think maybe a half a dollar or something, that has a Bible study outline in it, 8 or 10 lessons. Tapes are available if you want them. And they're also, you can buy them in the bookstore, or you can borrow the one free out of the library and listen to those tapes, and they will answer, I think, all of the questions that you have with regard to fasting. At our service tonight, I'm going to go into the Scripture, Old and New Testament both, and examine what God has done, hallelujah, in the past, as His people have been faithful to pray and to fast and to give themselves in this sacrificial way, some of the things that the church has seen God do in behalf of the church. And I believe it will be an encouragement to you. It certainly is to me. Would you stand with me, please?